She tells Sea Tales. I have asked Kelly Watson to title her event something that I don't trip over with my tongue, but she's not ever listened to me. She tells Sea Tales tomorrow night, the Northwest Maritime Center, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 she's to tell Sea Tales with me, and they are as follows. Kelly Watson, I just mentioned her. She has something to do with this. She started it, is what she did. And she's going to read a story if we have time, and I'm going to try to make sure we do. And of the project, three young women. I know their names, but I don't know which one goes with which. We have Amelia Yu. She feebly raises her fingers. Amelia, Claire. What a wonderful coincidence. They are in order on my page. And Samara. Then we have Margie McDonald, who seems to like to be so much on the radio that she comes here in any number of capacities. Captain Rachel Slattery, and also Chrissy McLean. And we are going to talk with each of them, alas, in some brevity. And also, those who we talk with, some of them are going to read for us from what they're going to do or related to what they're going to do tomorrow night. So, Rachel Slattery, tell me about yourself. I know that you have been a captain of the Adventurous, true?
True, yes. Okay. I was captain of Adventurous for 3 years and her first mate before that, and started as a deckhand on the Adventurous. But
and that's how it goes. Not, and you're a captain with what numbers of tons behind your license?
I have a 200-ton near coastal.
Mm-hmm. And what are your plans to do with that?
Well, right now I'm using them on a farm. So I run an organic livestock farm currently. So I'm, for the first time in 14 years, not employed on a vessel.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you would bring that up. Organic livestock farm, where?
Mm-hmm. In Rhode Island, so on the East Coast.
Well, so you have come far to be in this event, huh?
I have,
yes. How did you end up in Rhode Island?
That's where I'm originally from, where I grew up.
Then how did you end up here?
The Adventurous. Okay. I did a season 11 years ago and found Port Townsend and have lived here on and off. I actually used to live on Kelly's property with her. And on and off through the years, I've lived in different little boats or Port Townsend dwellings.
Rhode Island is not that far from the water, although your farm may be some distance. Do you miss, you must miss, the, have you seen the Adventurous?
I have. I went down to the Boat Haven yesterday and saw her getting her new deck put on. And but Rhode Island's tiny, so the farm is 20 minutes from the ocean, and I still get out on it.
You fancy coming back here and being a captain of something again?
I'm not sure. This place is definitely my heart home in a lot of ways, but and I don't have any immediate plans to move back.
So when we say livestock, is this like Old MacDonald Had a Farm?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so what are you raising?
Chickens, pigs, cows. We have a draft horse we do some logging with, turkeys for Thanksgiving.
I've done some of that before. Well, as Chrissy would know, Chrissy has two. Okay, in your lap you have something to read, and for the boat project, or for not the boat project, rather, but for She Tells Sea Tales, you will be telling this tale or another tale?
Another tale. This is a good lead up to that tale.
Wonderful.
That this is.
Yeah. Read to us, please.
Yes. So I was 18 years old when I started working on boats. And I was working for a small cruise line out of the East Coast, and I had applied to be a deckhand. And when I showed up for the interview, they told me that they don't hire female deckhands, only stewardesses. And I was already there for the interview, and I was 18, and really didn't want to be stuck in my small town. And so I interviewed and got the job. And not long after I started was our first annual Coast Guard inspection. And the first mate started training us all, and he told us that especially the newbies needed to pay close attention because we were likely to be the ones pulled aside. And he may have added, especially the new girls, you're the weak link. So I studied hard. I started memorizing things. I made flashcards. I remember walking around doing dishes in the galley going, emergency, position, indicating, radio, beacon, EPIRB, got it. And so the day the inspection comes up, I was cleaning one of the cabins on the upper deck, and I come out, and we were told to mill about smartly, so pretend that we weren't just waiting for a drill to happen. So I came out of the cabin, and the inspector was waiting outside, and he said, drill, drill, drill. Excuse me, miss, but one of your passengers just fell over the back off the back deck. And I went, great, I know exactly what to do. Man overboard drill. So I sounded the alarm, rushed out to the back deck, threw things overboard that would float, and started pointing. I threw a life ring, a life jacket, and a lounge chair off the deck. And the first mate, when he had been training us, said, specifically, those three things would float. Those were good things to throw overboard. As it's happening, the adrenaline's going through my body and my heart's pumping and I'm pointing. And the inspector says, "Really? A lounge chair?" And as I was pointing, I shouted back at him, "Shut up! It'll float!" Thankfully, I had been trained to keep my eyes on the floating object in the water, so I got to avoid eye contact with him. And afterwards, I was called to the wheelhouse. I was pretty sure I had ruined everything. Who tells a Coast Guard inspector to shut up? But I did. And the first mate looked at me, and he had a pretty serious look on his face. And he's like, "You know, in the 12 years that I've been doing this, nobody's ever taken me up on that. I say that every year. You throw a lounge chair in. And you know what? It floated. And we passed." It's my very first Coast Guard inspection. That was, gosh, 14 years ago. Yeah.
So 14 years ago, you were told of these things that girls couldn't do.
Yes.
I would have thought it was like 24 years ago.
I know.
34 years ago.
I know.
14 years ago. You're on the farm now, but do you think that's changed?
It is changing, absolutely. It's still something that is needing more attention and awareness around of the need for women in the maritime industry, but it is definitely changing. That particular company now does hire women on deck. They actually have a female captain now. So
it doesn't seem so radical to me, but I understand how those things are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Chrissy McLean, I think you're going to want to talk about the Girls Boat Project, and that will lead into talking to our three young women. Is that about the truth of it?
Sure.
And for that matter, let's see, you're on microphone. Yeah, you're on one. That's good.
Does that work?
Yeah, it does work just fine. You can raise it up if you'd like.
That would be better. How does that work right there?
You could sit in Marky's lap, perhaps.
I'm good right here.
Well, I'm happy with you there, too.
Okay.
Okay, so, and did I hear Kelly right to say that you also have organized tomorrow night, too?
Yeah, Kelly and I have different roles. Kelly, we jokingly say, Kelly's our artistic director, and I am the logistics coordinator. So I've been putting together all sorts of things to be ready for tomorrow. So anything from moving chairs and getting stages and making sure everybody has tickets that we can fit into the room and all sorts of stuff.
So Kelly is, you said, the artistic director.
Absolutely.
So good. Then I can ask her about the show.
Sure.
And I can ask you about the project.
Sure.
And what's new this year with the project? What are you building or rebuilding or doing?
We're working on our John Gardner punt still. We have named her Otter Pride. So we're slowly, my joke is that building a boat for a couple hours a week with a class of students is probably the slowest way you could build anything. And we do it really slow, but it's really fun. So we're working on our punt still, and it probably will be at least another year before she's finished.
What is a punt?
A punt is a boat that doesn't have a bow stem, so it has like a flat bow, like a sled. And we chose that design partially because we had some stock donated to us that was appropriate for that, and just it made it easier technically to build. And it had planking and riveting and all sorts of things that we wanted to practice.
But only 2 hours a week.
Well, we have the girls come on Wednesdays, and they're there from 1:30 to 4:30. But by the time we're down in the shop and we have focused work time, you know, it's really not a whole lot of time to actually be really in the project, because that's just one part of what we do. We also do specific bench projects. So the students are all learning how to use hand tools. They all have projects that they make that are their own that they get to do every single step and they take home with them. They start off making a tool tray. And then we make tools to go in the tray. So some of the advanced kids are now working on making mallets or bevel gauges or other pieces.
Is the program growing in terms of enrollment?
We are at capacity right now. So another big part of what we do is we do seamanship and boating in the spring and in the fall when weather's nice. So we have a maximum of only 10 people that can fit on the long dory that we use. So we have a group of 10, and that seems to be about right for our shop space as well, like in our instructors and everything like that. So.
And do the participants get school credit, or is this something extra to do, extracurricular?
Right now it's extracurricular. We could certainly credit students if they needed it. We're working with that model of Wednesday afternoon early release. So most of our kids are from Port Townsend, but it's not exclusively for Port Townsend kids.
And the punt has been under construction now for two school terms?
I want to say that, yeah. My friend and a dear man to all of us here in Port Townsend, Ernie Baird, talked to me the other week, and I said, "Ernie, this boat's taking forever." And he turned to me and he said, "Chrissy, it's not about the boat."
But I still, said, y'all going
to
love it.
It's a good thing to remember that it's about the experience and what we're doing, and the punt may take a while, but it's about having hands on everything.
And we can say that about life in general, can't we?
I think so.
Okay, definitely. So the kids are with you how many hours a week?
They're with us on Wednesdays from 1:30 to 4:30, so about 3 hours a week. And then we do have some summer programs, like Samara, who you'll meet in a minute. She started in our summer program, so that's like a week-long intensive. And we have programs for girls and boys that are woodworking focused in the summer.
Very well. Well, since you have pointed out to me Samara, and Samara is close enough to a microphone, I'm going to ask you first what grade you are in school.
I'm in sixth grade.
Uh-huh. And what if frogs catch in your throat, don't they, sometimes?
Yes.
Mine too, actually. And you can imagine that's a bit of a problem. What have you been doing in the project, and what have you enjoyed in particular?
Well, I've always really liked sailing and rowing, and I really like the days when we can be out in the water. And I also, I'm working on my tool tray right now, which is really interesting. And there's a lot of, I'm a mathematician, so I really liked all the math involved in that.
Explain to me what the math involved in making a tool tray is.
Well, you have to measure a lot of things. There's a lot of measuring involved, and you have to, a lot of it is planning out when you have the four sides in your base, like how to get it like exactly square, and how to measure out where you want certain things and where you want to cut. Because if you get it wrong, it could throw the whole thing off.
And then you'd be really frustrated, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And does your family get out on boats? Do you have boating in your background?
Not really, but my parents, when they moved here, I was like a few months old, and they, one of the reasons they chose us to live in Port Townsend is because they were like, in this town, like our daughter, if when she grows up, maybe she'll want to sail, and they wanted that in my future, so uh-huh. Yeah.
So I know you're only sixth grade, and you've got a long time to go to get out of the public school system. But do you think you're learning things in the Girls Boat Project that may direct you towards something as you leave high school and go on to whatever's next?
Probably. Like, yeah. I don't really know now. I mean, I'm not sure at all what I'm going to want to do when I grow up. And sometimes I'm kind of annoyed with myself about that. But yeah, I think what I learned Girls Boat Project is going to be really valuable to me in my later life, but I don't really know.
Of course you don't know. But yes, you're enjoying what you're doing.
Yes.
And you like working with your hands.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us. And yes, Claire. Yeah, we want to stand up. That is fine with me. That actually works quite well. And you are what grade in school?
I'm in sixth grade, like Samara. I actually go to school with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And were you out on the water much before the boat project?
Yeah, so when I was, like, from, like, when I was born to, I think, when I was, like, five, I lived on a boat in Fiji, the
you
South
did?
Pacific.
Yeah. Holy smokes, how did that come about?
My parents went there, they lived there, like, they lived in Caledonia for, like, 15 years, I think, and, yeah.
So they sailed around the world, or around the oceans?
They actually bought their boat in, I think, Seattle or Port Townsend, I'm not sure which. And then they sailed down by, like, Mexico and then down to Fiji.
So do you think your parents would be interested in being on the radio to talk about all this? Along
I
with you?
I think it'd kind of terrify them, but I don't know, I'm not sure.
But you don't seem terrified.
Well. And,
yeah, do you think adults are more likely to be terrified than kids?
My dad probably wouldn't be, but my mom definitely would be.
We'll let her speak for herself. We'll talk about this another time. What are you finding valuable about the boat project?
I'm learning a lot more, like, about working with wood. I think that'll be important for when I'm an adult. I enjoy working with wood. It's really fun. And I love going out in the water and rowing. I've learned a lot about rowing.
So how do you keep from hurting yourself? Not rowing, but when you're working with wood. There's tools. There's sharp things.
You just have to be, like, aware of your surroundings and, like, be careful. Like, be aware that you're holding a hammer and you could hammer your hand or something.
And sharp points, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Samara said she's a mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
And that means she likes mathematics in school is, I think, what she means by that.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
I like reading a lot more, and, like, I like writing poetry and stuff like that.
And when you're not on the water and not working with wood
yeah.
and not reading, what do you do What do you enjoy doing?
I love playing with my chickens.
Oh,
I've trained one of them to go up my shoulder. Yeah, I mean, I like reading, like you just said.
Do you reach your chickens?
No.
Well, you could try.
Yeah, I could.
Thank you, Claire. And we have one more boat project person. I hate to say this. I think I recognize you. You came with Brett Navin, didn't you?
I don't think so. But I came here last year for the Navy.
Uh-huh. That's very well. So that might mean that you're a seventh grader.
I'm in eighth grade.
Ooh, well, yeah. I figured more than a sixth grader anyway. Mm-hmm. So you have two extra years in the project.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And how do you find your experience in the boat project is changing as you go through it year by year?
Well, when I started off in the Girls Boat Project, I hadn't really gone out on the water, like, at all. And one of the first times we went out on the water and, like, rowed, we went on an overnight journey to Fort Flagler, and I'd never rowed on a longboat before. So that really, like, showed me what I was, like, getting into. Since then, I've, like, just, like, slowly been picking up on, like, terminology and, like, how to use tools in the boat shop. But I keep forgetting all the terminology, so I have to keep
the rowing learning. Terminology.
Yeah.
I was invited to go rowing one morning on one of the longboats, and putting the oar in my hand didn't complicate my life at all. I've done that before. But indeed, knowing what all those new words meant, or old words with new meanings, old words with new meanings, that's the problem, actually.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So if you were able to reconfigure your school week, I'm just going to do a little make-believe here with you.
Okay.
Reconfigure your school week so that you spent somewhat less time in the classroom and more time in the shop and in the boat. Would you opt for that?
Well, actually, I don't go to Blue Heron. I go to Ocean. And so I'm only at school in the classroom 2 days a week.
You can do whatever you want almost, huh?
Yeah, but I have like a certain number of homework that I have to do every week.
So. Marcy Van Cleve, somebody that you work with?
No.
Oh, well, maybe someday she will be. She would be good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, and I guess that's about all I have for you.
Okay.
Thank you a lot. All right, well, now, this is going to be good because we're going to talk to you a bunch. We learn more and more that there is to learn about you. So you have been here for wearable art.
Yes.
And we don't need to talk about that, although maybe we will a little bit. But wearable art, we talked about Frozen Borders.
Yes.
And I went to Frozen Borders. I guess you saw me there.
Yes.
Two sellouts.
Two sellouts.
Yeah, I thought so.
Hopefully we'll do it again somewhere.
And now you're involved with She Tells, She Tells. Yes, I'm getting it right there. But I learned in the conversation about Frozen Borders that you come to us from Canada.
Yes, I do.
Tell me about your upbringing. Where in Canada to start with?
I grew up in Newfoundland. The province is known as Newfoundland and Labrador. And I grew up in the west coast of Newfoundland in a small village of 16 houses. I was 3 miles inland, and the only boats I was familiar with were bright orange dories and some small fishing boats. I'd never seen a sailboat until I was 30, practically.
So what was your family doing there?
It was what was referred to as working in the woods. My father cut pulpwood, and he also had a small sawmill in our backyard.
How did you get from there to here? That's about as far away as it could possibly be. Culturally, perhaps.
Yes.
And geographically, obviously.
And it's all because of boats.
Okay. Let's have the story boat by boat.
A boat account. Those are too long. So this is my first time ever writing a story since high school. And first I was worried about not having enough material for 15 minutes, and then I started writing. And now I'm editing like crazy, so I've kind of settled on two stories.
Okay.
And I would like to read my opening paragraph.
I'd like you to do that, but before you do that, I am curious, boat to boat to boat.
Okay, so first, a very ratty sailboat in Belize that I lived on, and then a 32-foot well-maintained sailboat going from Belize to Florida, and then a 42-foot sailboat going from Fort Lauderdale to Holland, and then
a season seining in Kodiak, and then a season tendering all around Southeast Alaska and up into Bristol Bay.
All right. So I would think that most young women and men who grow up where you grew up might very well just stay there. Those who can would stay there. And those who left probably wouldn't go very far. And we have jumped from this little place in Labrador.
Newfoundland.
Excuse me. This little place in Newfoundland, or Newfoundland, if you wish,
yes.
To all of a sudden you're in sailboats in Belize.
Yeah.
Can you fill in some of that rather enormous blank, please?
So I was a teacher back in Newfoundland, and I needed to do something different. And my best friend lived in Belize, and another friend had a sailboat in Belize. And so I went down there to take a break from Newfoundland and from teaching, and I lived on a really tattered Chesapeake Bay skipjack. And that was my first experience ever living on a boat, and I learned a little bit about sailing from living on that boat.
And you also learned something about a different kind of climate.
I certainly did, and I learned that I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. And now here you are in Port Townsend. We're having the coldest build up to spring in almost history.
I've adjusted to the cold again, and I prefer that now.
And this is kind of pseudo-cold compared to Newfoundland cold.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I need to tell people the radio station that we're talking about the Girls Boat Project on is KPTZ, the Girls Project Boat Project, and She Tells Sea Tales, and KPTZ. All are in Port Townsend on the radio at 91.9. And I'm glad we're going to have time to talk to Kelly. I'm managing the time to make sure we do, and she's going to read something as well. By the way, I was talking with a friend of yours the other day, Shannon Kelly, right? And I was reminding myself, and I told Shannon about a contest that I still would like to have with you, and that is about arm wrestling. And I told, because that's one of your stories you've told, it, She Tells Sea Tales, and I told Shannon, which I told you, and that is you'd beat me. In fact, you would. Anyway, we'll get to you in a moment here. Margie, you have a story to tell.
I have a paragraph.
Read slow.
Could you live in a bathroom with the guy? My friend Julie posed this question very seriously. I was seeking her advice since she was the only person I knew who had any sailboat experience. It was 1986, and I was 23 years old. I was about to graduate from the Nova Scotia College of Art and Design. I should be considering a job. But it was February in Halifax. I was shivering from the damp and bitter cold off the harbor. I had been invited to live on a sailboat in the Caribbean. It sounded so romantic. It sounded warm. I considered Julie's question. A bathroom-sized space, eh? Wait, how does the bathroom even work on a sailboat? That's it for the beginning part.
I gather you're hoping that people will hear that. Oh, that's a. You have a. Oh, is there more?
I'm going to do one more paragraph. Mm-hmm. So this is a different story. One of the smallest boats in the fleet, the Abbey Joe, is an aluminum seiner with an almost flat bottom and a jet drive. Steering was a challenge. When it was my turn at the wheel, Alan would joke with me about writing SOS in my wake. Having a 24,000-pound fish hold took up most of the boat. There was not much room left for the cabin. If the full crew of four was below, someone had to be in their bunk. Alan and I were not the usual crew for the Abbey Joe. The usual crew were men in their 20s. Keith, the captain, and I were the same age, 32. Alan, a bit older. Kyle, Keith's nephew, a 21-year-old sweet Christian farm boy from Idaho, was the skiff man. The usual crew were okay with the idea that brushing your teeth brushed off the good luck. Alan and I would be the first to prove this superstition wrong.
Good. We'll hear more of this. at SheTells Sea Tales tomorrow at the Maritime Center. By the way, I will advise our listeners that it's unwise not to have a ticket. It's really unwise if you don't have a ticket to think you can walk up at 7 o'clock and get in. How do I know? Because somehow last year I forgot to get my tickets. And I was one. I needed tickets not just for myself, not just for Emmy Lou and me, but for Emmy Lou and our friend and me. And it was nip and tuck. So listeners, Kelly will tell you how you can get your tickets a little bit ahead of time. Well, maybe they won't, but I will. Is it sold out already? It is sold out already. So we're doing this just for the fun of it, huh? We're not trying to build an audience because you already have it. Okay, well, enough of that then. Kelly Watson, you are the artistic director. Let's just pretend we're still trying to get people excited about going, even though, and we have people listening who are going. So that's cool. Who's going to be speaking besides Margie and Rachel and you?
Well, we're very excited about our lineup this year, and I love that I've been demoted to the artistic director because I get to do this really fun part of recruiting all these incredible women mariners. So Shannon Ward is coming from Eastern Washington. She's a commercial fisherman up in Bristol Bay. She's a set netter. Kat Murphy, I'm really excited about her. She's been the Girls Boat Project instructor since I kind of gifted her this amazing opportunity to run an underfunded small program when we were just starting. And she is now a troller. She bought her own boat about a year and a half ago and has been fishing up in Alaska since then. Local Naja Shimenti, who grew up kind of at sea on the Adventurous with her parents, Nicole and Wayne Schmenti, and she is a rigger. She also sailed the Felicity Ann, which was our original boat for the Girls Boat Project, around Puget Sound after its restoration. The Felicity Ann was the first boat to be single-handed on record by a woman across the Atlantic, so we're really excited about having Naja. Haley Boyd is coming up from Portland. She's a tugboat. She works on tugboats. I don't think she was a captain, but deckhand. And she runs the workforce development program for Gray's Historical Seaport. So I'm pretty excited about her. Michelle Borowski has been a longtime supporter of women and girls programming in Port Townsend. She's now a California resident, and she has raced in the Race to Alaska on the sister ship, a first all-women's team to compete. And then Rachel and Margie. So we're super excited about our lineup.
It's going to be more than 3 hours, it sounds like.
Oh, no, we are strictly at 15-minute slots.
You learned that lesson one year.
Yeah. There may be a few tickets left. It's slim pickings. And if you're interested in those, you could try to call Kate at the Northwest Maritime Center at 385-3628. There's our tip for you.
385-3628. Okay, well, and people don't show up, too. I mean, people buy tickets, and then something happens. They may buy tickets just to support the Girls Boat Project. So in addition to the tickets that you may know about, there likely will be more opportunities. I mean, that's how I got lucky last year, I think. But it's probably wise to show up at 6:30.
Well, this year we're pretty excited. A couple new twists and turns on the event. So doors open at 6, mm-hmm. so that folks can come in and have a beverage and a snack and grab some seats early and have some time to hang out and socialize. Event starts at 7. Shannon will also be selling some of her fish there, so that's exciting, her smoked fish. Other things that are going on is there is a match donation tomorrow night. So there's a foundation of people interested in supporting women and girls programming at the Northwest Maritime Center. They're called the Give Like a Girl Foundation, and they have offered up a match donation. So any donations tomorrow night will be matched up to $5,000. So that's very exciting because every penny that gets put into this event will go directly to funding your guys' to these young women and to making that program happen for them. So we're really thankful for everybody's effort and for all of the readers who put in tons of time and volunteer and have flown across the country and up from California and driven from Eastern Washington this year.
And what I have found, I have been not to everyone, but to all but one. And among other things, a person likely will laugh a lot. Yes, there's well, Margie writes in a humorous way. There are some of the writers who don't so much develop that side of themselves in their writing. But for the most part, there's chuckles to be had. right?
Yeah, I really am blown away. It's an amazing event. And since year two, we've really we've made a concerted effort to not have any repeat performers. Mm-hmm. Even though women licensed mariners are only 10% of the maritime industry, we have a lot of licensed and unlicensed mariners in female mariners in Port Townsend and in the Northwest. So we are really lucky to draw upon this great wealth of talent.
And a frequent listener to this show did present at She Tells Sea Tales and actually made me laugh the most of all. And I hope she's listening, Diana Talley.
Beep, beep.
Yep, yep, yep. So you have something to read for us, please.
Yeah, so I haven't read in a while. And this is from, I used to perform at Fisher Poets. And this is a piece. I ran boats for a couple years, and it was hard. And I had a couple jobs that were real doozies. And I decided one year that I would write a want ad for exactly what I want. So this almost feels like a past life to me. It's been so long ago. But you should know, I'm no good in the engine room. I mean, for somebody just off the street, I'm pretty good, but for a boat captain, I'm really not that good. And the thing is, I want you to believe me, and don't deny me this reality, and then give me a job and look shocked that what I told you was true. Okay, do you got that part? I stink in the engine room. And the thing is, it would make so much sense to get good down there, and I used to really want to be good down there, and I used to want to be that cute and tough girl to pop out of the engine room, covered in grease with her long blonde hair. But I got over that. I discovered that I don't like it down there, and it's crowded, and it's greasy, and I get bloody knuckles, and things can shock you, and it sounds as if you're camped underneath a freight train. So I know it's not for me. I can fire the engines on and shut them down and change the oil and switch over the generators, but problem solving, it's not my strong point. I do, however, love cranes. Maybe everybody does, but I also like to think that I'm good at operating them. Last summer, up in Igigik, a family came and told me, they're talking about you on the docks. Heard you're called the queen of hydraulics. And you can tell, my ego is still beaming. I love driving cranes. Last summer, I had a sweet and short job driving crane up in Bristol Bay. The fast and furious pace of boat after boat, lined up behind your stern. As soon as one was offloaded, handed a fish ticket, and untied, the next would be right there. It was a power scow with the deck forward and me, the crane operator, also standing forward. And with each brailer bag pick, a windstorm of blood and gurry came flying my way. And by the end of the day, I was smiling and I looked like I was a freckled redhead. But the thing is, one day that crane exploded. And when a load gets stuck in the fish hold, an operator naturally just jerks on the load. And I've been doing it for years, so I did just that. A few quick tugs with the hydraulics. The guys down in the boat were swinging their body weight back and forth against the brailer bag, which was hooked to the scale, which was hooked to the hook, which was hooked to the cable which ran up to the spool that I controlled with each jerk of the hydraulics. And on that last jerk, the hook let go. The metal swedge that holds the cable back onto itself had eaten its way through the cable, and the scale exploded next to a fisherman's head. The cable snapped up into the air, and I swore a lot. And I was a real jerk about it. And I told the skipper, a man I really liked, that your crane almost killed someone. And I didn't say anything after that. Just asked those guys to move over to the other side of the boat and kept buying their fish. And for their consolation prize of a near-death experience that didn't result in their death, I handed them a $30 hunk of ribs out of our freezer. I guess somewhere in my psyche, I thought we're all just another piece of meat. So I drove the other crane on the starboard side for the rest of the season. So I'm looking for a job where I can drive a crane that doesn't explode.
Now, there's a story that doesn't make me laugh. Kelly Watson, thank you. I guess we have to wrap this up.
Thank you. Thanks for having us every year.